Inside Outdoors, coming on the airwaves, coming your way.
Hey now,
we're outside indoors, beat on a book on a snowy day.
Hey now,
we're inside outdoors, baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. Inside Outdoors with Don Jordan, Buddy Bill, and Rich Reardon gives you everything you need to know about the outdoors, hunting, fishing, local and national outdoor news, the environment, natural resources, safety, issues, and just down-home family fun. Inside Outdoors is an enjoyable and informative way to learn about what nature has to offer and how to be a good steward. You can find us at InsideOutdoorsRadio.com, and we invite you to write in about your fish stories, outdoor stories, favorite places, questions, or just about anything you want us to talk about on the show. So sit back with Buddy Bill, Don, and Rich for another episode of Inside Outdoors.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you by Morrison's Appliance.
That's right, Morrison's Appliances and Service on West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington, Indiana. Serving Monroe County since 1954 with eco-friendly service, pickup, and delivery at 900 West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington. For more info, visit morrisonsappliancesandservice.com.
Hey, good morning, everybody. By golly, ain't we lucky this morning?
What are we lucky about there, Bill?
Well, it's not snowing or raining.
True.
Or sleeting.
Yeah.
And it's 30 degrees. I see it up there now.
30 degrees.
Yeah, and that's not bad, but considering 60 degrees the day before, that is bad.
Well, you know, I was thinking with all that rain we had, and by the way, this is Rich Reardon, and you're listening to Inside Outdoors on WFHB. With all that rain yesterday, I was thinking, you know, a little colder, it could have been, a little bit sketchy out there.
It could have been. Well, it won't be long before we'll be baiting the hook. By golly.
Looks like it's going to get warm this week.
This week's going to be warm, and we're going to get cabin fever. I've already got it, but... it's catching.
Well, I can tell you right now, tomorrow's going to be about 52 degrees. We're looking at Washington's birthday coming up on Monday.
Yeah.
And that's going to be 67 that day, and then 69 the next, according to this.
So, how old is Washington?
I'd say he's about 200 and what? The bicentennial was 76, so 86, 96, 40 more, 240-some, I don't know. I don't know how old he was to begin with. But
I don't either.
I'd say probably almost 300 years old now.
Yeah. Somebody may be figuring that up right now and going to let us know.
Right.
Yeah.
But anyway, it is President's Day, and I'll be saluting all the presidents in the past. I'm not sure about the one right now.
We'll forget that one.
Yeah.
We'll not even talk about that one.
Yeah, I'm not too... We're trying to get too political here, but I'm not real happy about the situation right now.
No, it's not looking good. That's for sure.
And we'll have some things to talk about. This has been a heck of a week in the news. But how's the lake doing right now?
How's the lake?
Yeah, the lake.
It's cold.
Lake Monroe.
Yeah, but the water level is about normal, 538.
Mm-hmm.
And that's normal, and... it's fluctuating maybe a half inch or so. It's held pretty good for the last year or so. So everything's looking good down there. Of course, there's little skiffs of ice here and there, but no ice to speak of.
No.
So ice fishing's pretty well gone. And like I said, we're just waiting on spring now, and it won't be long before we'll be baiting a hook and throwing it in and catching some bluegill and crappie, and the catfish will start coming up here for long.
I'm looking forward to it.
Did you see, I'm sure you saw on the news, and of all people, a conservation officer going through the ice.
Oh, yeah.
I don't understand all that story, and I haven't heard any more other than the fact, and I don't... never did hear who it was, really.
No.
We may know him and we may not. I mean, I told Clarice, I said, of all people, And he's the one that's given advice, and I wonder what the whole story was, but we'll find out later, I guess.
Yeah, well, I'll have to look that up while we're taking our little break here, and we're just about to head into one.
Yeah, we got to have to take a little break.
But we want to let you know who and what we are, so that's what happens in these little quick breaks. So anyway.
Well, don't go away, folks. Get you some, by golly, some biscuits and gravy would be good this morning.
Yeah.
And a cup of coffee, and by golly, we'll be right back. Don't go away.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and me, Rich Reardon. We'll be back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break. You're listening to WFHB Bloomington, Indiana, broadcasting independently from the John Waldron Arts Center. The Waldron is owned and operated by Ivy Tech Community College in Bloomington, proud supporter of community radio. And this is community radio. We love it here, downtown Bloomington. And today it's 30 degrees. Looks like it's going to be pretty calm weather today. Maybe a little chance of snow a little bit later, but... That's all I can say about this day, so we're just glad it's going to get warmer this week. So anyway, you're listening to Inside Outdoors, and we'll be back in just a second here. All right, we're back.
Hey, we're back, and Rich will look up and see if he can find out any more on that.
Yeah, let me look on the computer here.
Conservation officer that fell through the ice. And then we'll maybe get some more information on that. Well, like I said, the Lake Monroe, it's near normal. So we'll just have to wait for warm weather and the water to warm up a little bit before we bait our hook. I don't know what, they haven't been a whole lot going on this week.
Well, let's talk about this, what you brought up, and it looks like it was in Madison County, so I didn't realize it was up there.
Yeah, that's where it was supposed to have been, up in Madison.
Yeah, and I just had it, now it disappeared again. Hold on a second.
Uh-oh,
here.
Disappeared.
Here we go. They got off so many ads that... says an Indiana conservation officer and his friend died while fishing Tuesday in Madison County. Department of Natural Resources Captain William T. Brown said the bodies of the officer and another man were pulled from an ice-covered pond about 11:50 p.m. from at Camp Kickthawanud. I never heard of that one.
I hadn't heard of it either when they said... on the news.
12 miles northwest of Anderson. And I don't know whether what kind of camp that is. It kind of sounds like a Boy Scout camp or something. But anyway, fellow conservation officers discovered that he had fallen in, and they recovered him and his friend. And unfortunately, they both passed away. So very, very sad to hear that. But that's about all they have. They said they... Roger... Chesham, he was 77, and then Ed Bowman, he was 44. And Bowman was the 15-year veteran conservation officer assigned to Madison and 10 other counties. And he was promoted in sergeant in 2014. So they were fishing. Something went wrong, obviously, and, you know.
Well, it's...
What have we been talking about?
Yeah, well, you know, no one's... immune to falling through the ice, and that proves it. He just got a little careless there. Both of them, I guess you might say, got a little careless, and that's what happens. And we keep telling people, make sure the ice is thick enough to get out on. And of course, after all this warm weather we've had, and we've not really had that cold of weather since back in first part of the month in January, it's not safe, and don't be getting out on the ice. That's just our our word is just don't get out on the ice. Hey, Don.
There we go. I got him now. Here's Don. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on up there?
Boys, there ain't a whole lot going on, really. It's pretty quiet.
Well, I heard you talking about the conservation officer. Did he fall through the ice, you say?
Yeah, he fell through the, him and his buddy fell through the ice. And
did they survive?
No.
Oh, well, that's too bad. I'm sorry to hear that.
Both of them perished, and they're gone, you know. And like I said, was saying there, you know, no one's immune to falling through the ice.
Yeah.
If it's not safe and not thick enough, and you're going to go through. I mean, it's just that simple.
Yeah, apparently they're they're pretty upset about it because they said, you know, he should have known better, and or they just don't know why. He said the ice should be 4 inches thick, like we talk about, just minimum, and apparently it wasn't. So they were fishing on risky ice, and that's what happens.
Do we know where this was?
Yeah, it was in Madison County at a, I don't know if I want to say this camp again, Camp Kick the Wa-Anund. I never heard of it.
So it was a small lake or a pond?
Yeah, it was ice-covered
pond. Yeah, it was
a
small lake or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's really sorry. I, of all the people that you'd think would be knowledgeable and safety-oriented, conservation officers would. They just made a miscalculation there, I guess. And, you know, ice doesn't freeze uniformly.
Right.
Well, that's it. See, he may have checked it, and it was 4 inches, and he took another step, and it may have been an inch.
Yeah.
There you go. It happens a lot. Especially if there's any water current in the lake, you know, like there is in most of these little ponds and reservoirs.
Right.
So where that current is, the ice will be thinner.
Thinner, and then you got so many springs and things like that coming up, that keeps it thinner, and it's got to get pretty cold to freeze thick enough if there's a spring or if the water's moving or whatever, and you know that, and I know that, but a lot of people don't, and they take a chance.
You guys knew that, too. They must have been used to fishing on that lake. And had probably fished on it for many years and never had anything to worry about. And here, boom, here it happened.
Yeah.
Well, that could be true. I never said, and they didn't give a whole lot of details on it, but
my goodness. Lost two of them. That, you know, gee, that's just unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a terrible tragedy.
Sorry to hear it for the conservation officers and for the state. These are valuable people in our state, and there aren't very many of them to enforce the wildlife laws, and boy, we sure hate to lose them.
Well, you know, and this one, this really just goes to show, though, that even with the knowledge he had and his experience, look what happened. So if you don't have the experience, you really got to be careful, and not, you shouldn't really be out on the ice if you don't have a real clear idea of what you're doing.
Well, you would think with as warm as it's been, I've been, of course, hearing that it's been, you know, it was 60-something yesterday up there, that you would start thinking about some soft ice, especially we've had rain up there too, right?
Oh, yeah, we had a good rain. I don't know how much we had. We probably had an inch or better.
Yeah.
Well, that really softens the ice. You know?
Oh, yeah.
That can make it punky.
Yep.
You know? Yeah. Ruins the quality of the ice and loses its ability to hold together. So, gee, that's too bad.
Of course, only one of those was a conservation officer. The other one was his buddy.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's just one conservation officer, which is one too many. But.
Yeah.
Well, there she go. Well, you see, you know, we have one. Somebody. Or at least one usually goes through the ice every year in Indiana. And this is the first one I've heard of this year.
Yeah.
And the ice fishing year is almost done. I mean, it obviously is done.
Yeah, it's the ice fishing's over, and that's, of course, that's what I keep saying. Don't get on the ice because of this warm weather, and we haven't had any real cold weather around zero for some time now, and we've had rain and then what, snow's melted and run off too, so, you know, the ice is getting very, very unsafe.
Yes, I agree. So,
and you know, that reminds me, I know you're a Facebook guy, and did you see that what was the in the Netherlands, the guy that was skating on the thin ice? Did you see that?
I don't think so.
That was interesting. They had I guess one of those GoPro cameras, you know, because there was somebody behind him, and they skate on the thin ice for some kind of thrill of it, because it's, you know, it's so thin that it doesn't look like ice. It looks kind of like you're on a black, you know, road or something.
Yes.
And they skate fat so fast that they're not really putting a lot of pressure. In other words, they're not walking on it.
I got the idea, yeah.
And it sounds like kind of a stupid thing to do, but apparently they get into that, and they've showed him skating all over the place, and it was interesting, but kind of scary.
Of course, I've done that when I was a kid. I would never do it now, but yeah, you know, I've just about every kid that's done a lot of ice skating when they were little, probably has done that.
Yep.
You know, and it's a thrill because you know you can see the ice cracking around your skates as you go over it.
So you
just don't do that in very deep water.
Well, and just hopefully you don't fall down, because that's where you turn into some trouble.
Well, you know, when you're a kid, you're a daredevil and you try stuff like that, but don't do that, kid.
No. No, I suggest you don't try that.
Yeah,
we've had certainly enough trouble with kids this week. My goodness, this thing down here in Florida with the...
Isn't that sad?
...shooting.
Yeah.
You know, we don't usually talk about these kind of things on this show, but, boy, here's another case like Sandy Hook where... Guys, it just makes you wonder about the state of humanity, doesn't it?
Yeah, it makes you wonder, all right.
Yeah, well, and we'll talk a little more about that. We got another quick break to take here in another minute. But, you know, it's true that we've talked about this before. I don't know why we need these semi-automatic or automatic rifles being sold.
We can talk about that. Yeah, that's a good subject.
Yeah, we'll do a little talking on that. And we're going to have to get out of here for a little break. And so get you, Don, you got any biscuits and gravy this morning? Get you a big old plate of them and a cup of coffee, and we'll be right back in just a short.
All right. Listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there, and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break. And you're listening to WFHB Bloomington at 91.3 FM in Bloomington, 98.1 FM in Nashville, 100.7 FM, Ellettsville, 106.3 FM, and community radio is for South Central Indiana. So we're real happy to be here. It is now 30 degrees. Doesn't look like it's going to do much today, but we're just glad it's a little bit warmer. And this is Inside Outdoors that you're listening to. We'll be back in just a short little bit. Listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and Rich Reardon.
Hey, welcome back, folks, and glad you could join us this morning. It's kind of early, but By golly, we appreciate you getting up and tuning in and listening. If you got any questions or anything, get a hold of Rich or call somebody.
Yeah.
Send them an email or something. And
well, it'll be a little easier once Don gets back here. We'll have people calling in. So, but he's using up the line right at the moment. Don, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right.
Are you doing any fishing, buddy?
No fishing, although it's started. There's been some sea trout caught and this and that, but it's still not...
not good.
It's still pretty puny, and you still have to go a long way away from here to find any really good fishing. Mm-hmm. So you might catch some dock sheep's head right now and some trout, sea trout. And, this is a place that used to be full of tarpon, and there's still some young tarpon around if you want to go after them, and they're quite a lot of fun to catch. And unfortunately, there's not a lot of people that do that because it is so much fun. But on the other hand, they're out there anyway, and they're having a good time.
Well, good.
Fishing about.
They'll get, the more they leave them alone, the bigger they'll get.
There you go. And that'd be catch and release, I hope.
Yeah, right.
Catch and release.
Yeah.
There is a whole bunch of, do we want to go get back to this school thing?
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit on that.
Gun business before we press on.
There was another one that fell through the cracks, and even the FBI had been alerted to this fella. And
the FBI, they could be in some serious trouble anyway. So they don't always get it right.
Well, no, they're human like the rest of us, and that wasn't the only thing they was a following, I'm sure.
No, I'm sure they do, especially right now. As you know, in Washington, they're under the microscope out there back east right now.
Right.
Well, the important thing here, I think, is the president just the day before or 2 days before that had signed a bill or gotten rid of the bill that Obama put together about, if you had a mental illness, you had a little harder time picking up a gun and buying one. And now he's making it a little easier for people to get these guns, especially if you've had some kind of trouble like that. So I don't understand. You hadn't mentioned that, though.
Well, yes, we understand. The president is a supporter of the National Rifle Association, which is the most probably, at least known, public swayer of opinion in this country because of the millions of dollars they invest in Congress and the U.S. Senate and the president.
Yeah, when you look at the amount of money that each one of these people receive from the NRA, it's pretty intense. And notice the ones that are for the NRA get the most of it, obviously. But this is the why.
Well, I've never been a member of the NRA. I never really, for decades, never thought of the NRA as anything other than a group that wanted to promote shooting and safety. And it's only in the last 30 years, 20, 25 years, that the NRA has become this overarching opinion molder and money spender on politicians.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the way they get what they want, and money talks, and that's a shame because I'm a hunter myself, and I believe in having a gun and all, but some of these guns, these AR-15s and all that stuff, I never seen anybody in the woods, in the forest, or anywhere else with that type of gun hunting.
Well, I haven't either, but they could, I suppose.
They could, but they don't. I mean, it's just not a hunting type gun. 30-30, 30-06, 243, 300s. Yeah, they're hunting guns. But I don't know what you would call these.
Well, they're assault rifles. AR-15 is made by Armalite Corporation. It's a copy of the M16, which is a full automatic weapon, and AR-15 is a semi-automatic, but they're basically the same rifle.
Yeah.
They're made for the U.S. Army and military, and there's millions of them around the world. And, of course, I want to remind you that Colt managed to go out of business 2 years ago after selling millions and millions of these rifles. So, how did that happen? And then we got Remington just falling, although they're not really gone. So.
Well, that was another big story this week, wasn't it?
Yeah, they was filing bankruptcy, and I called one of my friends that was connected to Remington, and I asked him. I said, "How in the world can a company like Remington file bankruptcy after the last 8 years of people buying guns left and right because they was afraid Obama was going to take them away from them?" And I said, "Look at the millions of guns that they sold." And they went out of business, or filed bankruptcy, not out of business. And he said, "The only thing I can say is poor management." So I don't know.
I got to say, poor management is one possibility. The other possibility is that they took out all the money they could take and left minimum operating funds. And, this thing about the Remington trigger thing should have cost them billions of dollars already, but it hasn't.
Well, why don't you explain that a little? Because we've talked about it before. We didn't really explain it well today, but the Remington had a problem with their trigger where you didn't have to even pull the trigger and it would go off and people have been killed, right?
Right. Well, this guy named Walker, who designed the trigger in 1950, recognized the problem with this trigger shortly after he designed it, and investigated on his own and documented what was happening with this trigger after he retired, and sent all the findings to Colt and reminding them that this trigger could fire without being pulled. And what was happening was that with a little buildup of grease and dust, which happens in a gun, oil and dust, you've seen them make little black dust balls in there. And when that happens, it can move the parts inside the trigger mechanism out of line. And then the next time that you push the safety off, the gun fires. Hmm. As you turn the safety off, the gun goes off. And that's what has killed several people, and the most famous one being a 9-year-old boy who was on the other side of his mom and dad's camper. They were getting ready to go deer hunting or something out west, in one of the states out west. And his mother sat the rifle down, leaned it against the camper on the other side from where the kid was, and then the gun, of course, fell, and when it fell, the mechanism gave loose, and there it went, and it shot the kid and killed him on the other side. That's another big lawsuit that they have on them right now.
Well, and this bankruptcy kind of makes that hard to do, huh?
There's been a number of people killed, and even though Remington knew it, they've said they were going to recall these firearms many times. But I guess, according to what I've read here in the last few days, a lot of these rifles never got recalled. They replaced the trigger mechanism in the new Remington 700, but apparently it has a problem too. So, with this bankruptcy going on, I'd say when that's over, they won't have enough money to pay all the claims against them. They also had the rifle that was used at Sandy Hook,
mm-hmm.
the elementary school. So there you have it.
Well, it's too bad, and we're going to, you know, we need to do something. You can't take guns away from everybody, that's for sure. I mean, you know, there's always going to be guns, but we do need to make some restrictions and some laws that stick and not let some of these fall through the crack and as this one this past week has done and end up with the firearms. And it's I mean, we can go on and talk about it, but until something's done, it's going to continue.
I don't know. I think our buddy Rich has some ideas on this. I just got an email from him about some possible malfeasance going on here. Rich, are you going to talk about that?
Well, I just think that, you know, a lot of these things are set up to not so much to control guns, like I think has been the big issue that everybody's been talking about, like the whole thing with Obama, oh, he's going to take away all our guns. I think more of it is about the just creating a police state where you're going to go into schools, the NRA is already calling for teachers to keep loaded guns in their desk, and, you know, I think they're going to be having, you know, more of a police state in these schools and different places, because, I mean, look what they did with we have to take our shoes off in the airports, because one guy had tried to hide something in his sock, you know, and yet with guns, you know, these automatic weapons and everything, I don't think they're trying to get it set up that they are going to ban them, but I think that they're going to do the opposite. I think they're going to just try to, you know, arm the teachers and arm the schools and have more police presence. And, you know, I think our kids are going to be in for it, you know.
Who are these people? Who are the they in this case?
There's a lot of conspiracy theories about this, but a lot of this stuff just doesn't make sense. I sent you a link about the kid from the school that they had on MSNBC and some other stations, and he was a senior from the school talking about gun control and all this stuff, and it looked all to me that the kid was on a green screen, that he was in a studio. He was being prompted what he was going to say, and I'm a videographer and an engineer, and there were all kinds of signs that this was kind of a bogus thing, and I don't know I'm not going to point fingers and say I know who's doing it, but I think that a lot of this stuff is set up, because it's always, you know, this lone gunman, you know, you've heard that how many times for all the way back to John Wilkes Booth, you know, and it turns out there's some kind of other things behind it, and you have to look at who benefits, where's the money go, what's really going on here. And I don't see them ever, you know, the Congress or anybody taking away people's guns. I just don't see that happening. But the other thing is...
I don't see that either.
The only thing else that can happen is they start arming, you know, other, you know, that sell more guns. You know, the NRA's all into the, just sell guns to teachers, you know. I remember an Archie Bunker show, you know, All in the Family back in the 70s, and
yes.
he wrote a letter to Nixon or something, and got on TV and he was talking about the hijackings, and he said, you know, that I got a perfectly great way to stop all these hijackings. You just arm all the passengers, you know, pass the guns out when they get on the plane, and when they get done, you pass them back out, you know. And
shoot out at the Boeing Corral,
right? And but, you know, it was funny, but it's actually kind of getting to that way. I mean, the NRA is actually, they want teachers to keep loaded guns in their desks and point them at the students if they have to. And
well, one thing they have been able to do is keep them off of airplanes, haven't they?
Yeah. I saw another guy talking about this. I don't remember exactly who he was, but he was a law enforcement officer, and he was saying, you know, the same problem is with prisons, that, you know, a prison is set up so people cannot get in or out very easily, obviously. And so when something does happen, it becomes very difficult for the law officers to figure out who's doing what and how to get in and out of things. So if you end up locking down these schools, to the point where, you know, it's hard to get in, hard to get out. When something does happen, it becomes very difficult for them to stop what's happening if they happen to have made it into the system. And that's kind of what has happened here with this kid. So, I mean, he pulled a fire alarm. He knew pretty much, you know, he had been a student. He knew what was going on. Now, no matter how it ended up that he did that, he knew what was happening, and it was difficult for them to stop, you know, stop it.
What's this MK Ultra stuff?
Well, MK Ultra was a program that the CIA and some others put forth a long time ago, and it's basically creating a mind control situation that they experimented on for warfare to be able to, you know, sort of what would end up happening is you would have sort of a key word that would send you into some kind of pre-programmed
like
thing in your mind.
Manchurian candidate stuff.
Exactly. And everybody thought that was just kind of, like you said, Manchurian, you know, it was a Hollywood movie. But it turns out that this has been going on for a long time. And they, you know, I just wonder whether some of these things are set up to be that way. They a lot of times these kids are kids that were, you know, orphaned, or they've had trouble in their home. There's not parents around. With this guy, he had there was something like since 2011, 35 times they've come to his house, you know, or the 911 had been called. He's got stuff all over the internet. There's a lot of things that don't make sense to me about the whole thing. You know, and so you just kind of wonder what the heck is going on, you know?
We got a big mess over this, and it's really, I actually teared up watching some of this and hearing that one dad talk about his daughter, be his 14-year-old daughter.
I know.
Well, you know, we out here in the open really can't comprehend what they've went through. Your daughter or your son went to school this morning, and you never see him again. And boys, I just can't imagine. I mean, it's bad. When we can't even go to church anymore without looking at the door to make sure somebody don't come in. You can't go to school and learn anything because you got to keep your eye on the door. I mean, it's getting bad.
Hey, we'll talk about more about this in a second. We got to take a quick break and let the people know who we are, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Don't go away, folks. We'll be back with something more of this, and get you something.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there, and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break.
This is WFHB Bloomington, Indiana, broadcasting independently from the John Waldron Arts Center. The Waldron is owned and operated by Ivy Tech Community College in Bloomington, proud supporter of community radio. Today it is right now 30 degrees. We're looking at maybe getting up to, oh gosh, just a little bit warmer than that, 41, and maybe a slight chance of rain and snow, maybe a little bit of rain tonight. And then it's going to be mostly sunny on Sunday, up to 52, and hopefully getting up into some higher temperatures in the early part of the week. We got Washington's birthday coming up, and that'll be 67 degrees, 69 degrees. I sure hope we see some of these kind of temperatures. So anyway, you're listening right now to Inside Outdoors, and we'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and Rich Reardon. And
hey,
we're back, yeah.
Welcome back, folks. By golly, we wasn't going too long, I hope. And hope you got you some breakfast there and enjoyed it this morning. Well, it's 6:40 and... still pretty early in the morning for Saturday morning, because that's the morning everybody wants to sleep in and rest.
I think so.
It's pretty early.
What do you say, John?
I say it's pretty early, especially it seems earlier down here for some reason than it does in Indiana. I guess it, you know, really is, actually.
Are you on the same time we are?
Yes, but the sun comes up a lot sooner here than it does over there.
Yeah. Well, you're closer to it.
Right. It's awful dark here in the morning. Dark.
You know, dark, yeah.
Hours always before, just before dawn, darkest hour. So.
Well, hey, I what we were just talking about, I don't want to get into this conspiracy stuff too much, but I tell you what, either way you look at it, no matter how it happened, and, you know, I feel really bad for the people that have had to go through this and lose their kids. It's unimaginable to me that you'd send your kid off to school and then they wouldn't be coming back home because of a gun.
Well, it's...
Sure, absolutely correct, and because of the gun and the political climate in this country is partially responsible for that. And I mean, kids, you know, to see this stuff going on, you know, I'd be worried if I was a kid in school, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. I'd be scared to death.
I might be mad. Any number of things that you could feel with all the stuff that's going on and what your prospects are looking like as every year goes by. And you got a war going on all around the world. Looks like it's going to last forever. You got economic things looming out there that are disturbing. You don't know what's going on in the school systems. You know what's going to happen to your Social Security. Do the kids think about this stuff? Well, I remember thinking about Social Security when I was a kid, but not much. But I bet they do now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it reminds me kind of when I was a kid, they taught you how to try to survive a nuclear bomb. You know, duck and covers. I remember doing that when I was in kindergarten and first, second grade. And, you know, it was terrifying, you know, it really was. And it's the same kind of thing now. They're having these, you know, active shooter drills and things. And, you know, it's got to be terrifying for a young kid who's, you know, only 7 or 8, 9, 10 years old, you know.
Well, all I had to worry about was a fire drill now and then. How about you, Bill?
Well, that was mostly it. Of course, I can remember the bomb shelters and stuff like that that they always was mentioning and things. But it just continued to get worse and worse and worse. And now it's more available, guns. Everybody's got one.
And
here you go.
You know, I hate to get into the president because we try to steer away from this stuff, but when it actually is part of the subject, I think it's okay to do. And when he, in his campaigns, he was constantly inciting people to violence. I mean, remember, and he'd say, get that guy out of here. And he'd encourage the police to bust heads and stuff like that. And, you know, it is this atmosphere of you know, anger and hatred and violence that's really the problem.
Well, did any of you guys watch that television show that was on, I think, Netflix called Generation Kill?
I didn't see it.
I didn't.
Well, you know, it's about the Marines in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And what these guys face every day. And, you know, I remember this is being talked about, the soldiers coming back from Vietnam, too. You know, you can't come back without being a little bit disturbed or confused about how things are supposed to be. And that has to wear on these kids, too. You know, this boy that shot these people the other day, who knows what might be going through his mind, you know? It's just it's just so sad and such a conundrum, and I'm going to stop thinking about it and go to the boat show up in Indy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you going to be back for it?
Actually, it starts, I think, yesterday it started.
I think you're right, till the 24th,
yeah.
I believe.
Have you been up there before?
To the boat show?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. Well, it's the same old Indianapolis Boat Sport and Travel Show that Harry Renfro started when I was a child, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And his son is still running it. It's still produced by Renfro Productions. And it started at 1 o'clock yesterday. And it's at the State Fairgrounds Coliseum and attached buildings. Anybody who's never been, well, you ought to go once at least see what the show is like. It's been up and down over the years. They have a thing called Tackle Town where you can go in. There's a lot of retail sellers, maybe not as many as there used to be. Dick Shedd used to go up there when he was in business. Boat displays and campers, and then you have the center part of the Coliseum where all the resort places that market to the Indiana market, actually, you know, for Ontario, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Alaskan lodges, things like this are all downstairs, and that's where they also have some of the entertainment. I don't know, do they still have the big dog retrieving pond out there and log rolling and this sort of thing? So, yeah, it's worth going to. I'd check it out if you are interested.
Yeah, I'm like you. If you have never been, go once will probably be enough, but I've been up there, I'm like Don, several times, and we used to work it when we had the Lake Monroe Association, and we took turns working our Lake Monroe booth up there. And of course, I don't know where they still have the bear wrestling and stuff or not. They have a bear up there, or used to, and there was people that wrestled him. I didn't want to wrestle him myself.
But, I don't blame you, Bill. I don't believe I would. Yeah, another famous thing they always had was they always have a marksman or a markswoman of some kind who makes amazing trick shots down on the stage with these little birdshot 22 shots.
Right.
You know? Can't miss a balloon with that now.
No, you can't. But there's a lot of things to see, and it'll take you a while to get through it, so plan on staying a while.
Yeah, I think the dog retrieving and jumping, you know, you've seen that, haven't you, where they see how far they can jump. They do some of that up there, and you need to look them up on the Internet, though, and or you can go to the DNR site and get a link to them. So you can find out what the daily schedule is.
Right. And the DNR will be up there to answer any questions anybody's got about conservation and stuff. They've always got a booth there. And like I say, there's a lot of boats and campers. If you're looking for one of those and planning on doing any camping or boating and need a camper or boat, that's a good place to go and look, because there'll be several hundred boats and campers in there. So if you know, there, like I said, all kinds of tackle, different companies have got tackle up there, always have had, and there's a good chance to get that special lure or rubber worm or plastic worm or whatever that you've been looking for. You may find it there. So it's a good time.
Yeah, go ahead, Bill.
It's a good time to go. And like I said, if you've never been, it's worth your time to go. And if you have been before, go back again. You may see something new. They put on new stuff every year. They add a little something. Maybe it's subtract something that wasn't very popular, and they'll add something new. So there's always something new every year. But
so, Bill, they've got the DNR's got a bigger presence up there this year. They got a lot of stuff going on in their main area. So they're going to have their canines on hand.
Oh, yeah.
So that might be something to see. I just got an email about this ice fishing death here. From the DNR, saying that at 11:50 p.m. on February the 13th, so that was 4 days ago. Indiana conservation officers recovered the body of Sergeant Ed Bowman, that's B-O-L-L-M-A-N, age 44, ice fishing in a pond in Madison County with longtime friend Roger Chesham, age 77, whose body was also recovered. Sergeant Bowman was not on duty at the time of the accident. That's all that there is in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not giving a whole lot of information, but that was enough to know what happened, you know, and
yeah.
Who.
Oh, there'll probably be a little sadness at the DF, the sports show over that. And
well, I'm sure they will.
I expect. Let's see what it says about their main location up there on this email. It doesn't say where. Okay, they're going to have some birds of prey. That's today on hand up there, featuring live raptors from Hardy Lakes Raptor Center. And then they got the canines on Saturday, February 24th. That's a week from today, 11 to 2. At the Sport Boat and Travel Show, and that's at the DNR's display.
Oh, uh-huh.
And so you probably want to stop by there, and you know, when you do stop by there, you can get a copy of your hunting and fishing regulations and lots of other information at the DNR's booth. And if you want to talk to one of these conservation officers, there's always two or three of them around there. So if you have any questions about what's going on in hunting coming up with turkey season, that'd be a good time to stop by there. There's also going to be some biologists there. So.
There you go.
Yeah, they cover pretty well. Conservation's always, over the years, just kept improving. And they're always there to answer questions, and that helps people out quite a bit.
Yeah, it's a good thing to do. It's a good way to start off the season, get our mind back on to what we're supposed to be. And, boy, there's all kinds of articles popping up on Facebook about trout fishing starting soon. Steelheaders are out now, I'm sure. Up in northern Indiana for those steelhead coming out of Lake Michigan. And if you've ever done that, well, if you don't mind being cold, I'll tell you, a steelhead it's a thrill to catch one. That's a big rainbow trout that runs in from Lake Michigan. And they get to, you know, 20 pounds. I mean, we're talking serious fish. These are trout, too. They're rainbows. They leap and jump and jump and jump. And, wow, I can see why people do it. Although I see them out there standing on those ice shelves fishing those rivers. That doesn't sound too good to me. What about you?
Not me either. I'll wait for warmer weather.
Yeah, me too. But, talked to Dan Wagner. I got a message from him. I asked him. He's a, you know, Dan.
Oh, yeah, Dan the man. Yeah, I haven't seen him forever.
Crappie thon guy used.
Yeah.
And anyway, Dan's a confirmed crappie. Nanook Wagner, he's a confirmed crappie fisherman. And he said he hasn't been out. He went down to Paintown Docks once, and there wasn't any fish in the docks, and they need some warmer weather for a little longer before the crappie start coming into the shallower water before you can get at them.
Well, that's true. It's a little early yet.
A little early for crappie, but they pop right up there, though, and that's why I know they test them out on the Paintown docks to see what's going on, so you got to check that out yourself sometime.
Yeah, right.
Hey, and there's one more thing I wanted to bring up. You gave me a message about this, and yes, I did know about it, and it was about a woman named Lisa Lucas who was in West Virginia. She traveled 100 miles from her home in Cairo, West Virginia, to the state capital in Charleston.
Oh, yeah.
Last Friday to testify against the oil and gas industry-sponsored bill, HB 4268, that would allow companies to drill on minority mineral owners' land without their consent. And she got up there in front of the, you know, in front of the delegates and started talking about how, you know, people were, that the oil and gas companies were giving donations to the House Judiciary Committee, including the chairman, and they threw her out of the place, dragged her out.
Right, they had a picture of her getting by these two big old fat guys who were going to strong arm her out of there.
Yeah, they strong armed her right out of the and wouldn't let her talk. And this is a public, supposedly a public, meeting, you know, about the what they were planning on doing. So.
Well, it is public meeting. Anybody can go and anybody can speak, providing they want you to speak and want you to be there.
Well, they certainly didn't want her telling how much money each one of them had received from the oil and gas industry, apparently. So,
well, that's pretty bold to stop the interfere with somebody's right to speak right there in the place where it's supposed to be the most important.
I know.
And of course, it's West Virginia again.
Yeah, and it's terrible because, you know, this whole fossil fuel industry it's got to be over. I mean, there's so many other countries doing well without it, Germany and jobs will come from that. So it's all about money. Again, it's all about money.
Yeah, I think we ought to start saving that oil because you know what? Plastic's made out of oil.
Yeah.
And when we get to the point where we don't have any plastic, any stuff to make plastic with, we're in serious trouble. So.
Well, actually, that's not really a problem because hemp, you can turn into the substances, most of the substance can be made out of hemp, but that's another issue for next week.
Yeah, without that plastic, I can't get any plastic worms to go fishing with.
Right.
And that's...
You can't get any drugs.
That's important.
Hey, well, listen, we're out of time. Thanks for calling in, Don. We'll talk to you next week. And Bill, I think we're about done.
Hey, Don, have a good week and stay warm down there. And we'll be looking for you soon to come back. And everybody, have a good week. We enjoy being with you, and we hope you enjoy being with us. By golly, we'll be back next week with something. And if you got any questions, email Don or Rich here, and we'll be back next week.
All right.
Bye-bye.
That's all we have time for today. Inside Outdoors comes to you from the beautiful rolling hills and green forests of southern Indiana. Inside Outdoors is brought to you by Morrison's Appliances and Service, serving Monroe County since 1954 at 900 West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington, Indiana, and all with eco-friendly service, pickup, and delivery. For more info, visit morrisonsappliancesandservice.com. Be sure to tune in next week for more Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don, and Rich, and listen online anytime at insideoutdoorsradio.com.
So thanks, everybody, for listening and tuning in this morning, and so we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye. You're listening to WFHB Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered and community radio. Hey, we're at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also at 98.1 in Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org. And by the way, these shows are also... we put them up here on WFHB's website. We put it on our website, which is InsideOutdoorsRadio.com. And also Morrison's, which is underwrites our show, which we appreciate. You can get the podcast on their site as well. So anyway, it'll be 30 degrees today. It's mostly cloudy. There will be a slight chance of rain and snow, and maybe a chance of rain tonight. And it's going to get a little warmer this week. So anyway... we're all done here from Inside Outdoors. We'll be back and see you later.